Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. What do you know about the Holy Spirit? Many Christians know He is part of God, but don't know a whole lot about Him and cannot answer basic questions like who He is, where He comes from, and what He does. To learn more about the Holy Spirit, we are going to begin in the Old Testament and then move forward to when Jesus was conceived and see the role that He played in these events. It was Jesus who told us about the relationship between Himself, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. At the end of this message, you will know what the Holy Spirit does for believers in Christ. But most importantly, you will recognize that He is your best friend. This message is entitled, The Holy Spirit is Your Friend. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on October 10th, 2010. And I'm very happy today. I'm going to be preaching one of my favorite subjects, the Holy Spirit. And I pray that God will bless you as we go through this message. And most of all, that you will have the joy of walking with the Holy Spirit. He's walking with you. Let's stand for prayer then. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. That Lord, you're present with us here. And as Father God, let your Holy Spirit now, as I speak about Him, let Him right now, Father God, minister to us and really show us who He is and what He wants to do. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those are Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Who is the Holy Spirit? Where does He come from? What does He do? These are just a few questions that many Christians can't answer. And in this message, we are going to find out how much the Holy Spirit is part of the Christian life. And if you take your Bible, turn with me to Genesis, the very first chapter, verse number 2, and this is where we meet the Holy Spirit for the first time. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. In the very beginning, that God had done a creation. In the same chapter, we are given the astonishing information that God is speaking to someone and discussing the creation of man. Turn down to verses number 26. That's verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created He them. I want you to look upon that verse again. And God said, He didn't say, let's do this. He said, let us. Which means He was talking to Himself. And who else was He talking to? Now I have this on the outline here, that the Hebrew word for God in chapter 1 of Genesis is Elohim. Matter of fact, if you go through the book of Genesis, you will find that the word for God there is Elohim, which means God's plural. And for some reason, most of the time, in the King James Version, we have not translated, they did not translate the Hebrew words, because there are many different names for God in Hebrew. Almighty, the Rock, and so on. I have this listed in Christian Dynamics, book number one. Does that mean that God is not one? And the answer is no. Turn to me to Isaiah chapter 45. That's Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 21. And this is what God is speaking here very specifically. Tell you, bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who has declared this from ancient time, who has told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. There is none, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Now, God is saying this, there's no one like me. There's only me. I am God. Now, if we look in chapter 46, verse number 9, we read this. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man execute my counsel in a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. God is one. In the Old Testament, I wrote, we are told about God. We are told that God has a spirit. And the coming of Messiah was foretold. But it is not until Jesus, when he came to the earth, that he gave us a full understanding of the interconnection between these three entities. God the Father, God the Son, or the Messiah, and God, the Holy Spirit. Let me take you now to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. David had never really understood that God is triune. He had never understood that. But he knew this, the Holy Spirit is important. If you want to read from verse number 9. He says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. David recognized that he was who he was because of the Holy Spirit. He was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. David believed in the coming Messiah. He was saved. And the Holy Spirit was with him. And he realized, without the Holy Spirit, I'm not going anyplace. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with your free spirit. When you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your physical body. And the Holy Spirit took your dead spirit, and simply you were born again. That spirit was born again. It was made alive. The Holy Spirit is with every believer in Christ. Most of us do not even think about it. We don't really care about it. And we don't understand that the Holy Spirit is always with us. In grief and sorrow, in joy and happiness, when things are not going right, when things are going right, every time the Holy Spirit is there. But we do not utilize His presence. Let me try to explain that to you. If you do not think that something is there, you are not going to either look for it or you are not going to try to use it. Every one of you came here in a car today. And I don't see any horses in a parking lot. You didn't come in with a car and have a horse in front of it and the horse was towing in your car. Because you had realized, learned some time ago that there is an engine inside of your car. You got gasoline in a tank or diesel, whatever it is. And you notice that the moment you turn the key, the battery is going to kick in and the engine is going to start and that engine is going to pull you. You might be having a difficulty. You might be handicapped. But once you're in that car, you got power. So you know you have power in your car and you use the gas pedal and you simply know I have this power. Now let me say this to you. Most of us have not turned on the key to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present. But the Holy Spirit is not active because you and I are not activating Him. When you got up today for your bed, did you use your own power or did you have someone come in and get you out of bed? There are certain things that you and I have to do ourselves. And you need to now to think about the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit wants to work with you. So activate the Holy Spirit in your life. We're going to talk more about it. Turn it to Luke chapter 1. We're going to find out what the Holy Spirit did in the New Testament so we get a little bit understanding. That's the Gospel of Luke. The very first chapter. And we're going to begin in verse number 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. And by the way, Mary approximately was about 16 to 17 years old. She was just a young girl. To a virgin, espoused or betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, out of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Let me explain this to you now. These were the times of arranged marriages. Mary, probably as a 3 or 4 year old girl, had been married to Joseph, who at that time might have been 5 or 6 years old, the parents of these two children got together, simply said, okay, we're going to have a marriage between our children. They went to the courthouse, recorded it, and that's what it means to be espoused. Then the little boy Joseph went home with his parents, Mary went home with her parents, and they did not meet until they were adults and the marriage was consummated. So here now we have this little 16-year-old girl, a 17-year-old girl, Mary. She's a virgin. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail, You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? This was 2,000 years ago. There was no knowledge about DNA. There was no knowledge of medical procedures. And the angel Gabriel didn't say, here's how we're going to do it, Mary. The Holy Ghost is going to come in. He's going to take one of your eggs, fertilize it, put it back in, and you're going to give the Messiah flesh and bones, and the Holy Ghost is going to give him the blood. Gabriel didn't say that. Here's what he said. And the angel answered to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit moved in and impregnated one of the eggs in Mary, and she became pregnant. During the centuries, the skeptics said, you know, that's a fairy tale story. It's impossible. Well, we got fertility clinics today. If a woman wants to be pregnant, she don't have to have a man. They can take care of that. They remove an egg. They simply fertilize it, put it back in again. No problem, and she will have a baby. Now, most people says, well, that's not too impossible. The Holy Ghost can do it. We can do it. That was the Holy Spirit. In the same chapter, now go down to verse number 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. That was her cousin. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. And she spake of it in a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is active all the time. If you turn to chapter 2 and verse number 25, that's Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25, we read this. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here we meet the Holy Ghost again. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit speaking and saying, now you're not going to die until you have seen the Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation. The Holy Spirit. And then in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus ought to be baptized, and praying the heaven was open. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. The Holy Ghost came down upon him. That's exciting to know that the Holy Ghost will be with you. Now turn to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to find out what John the Baptist said about the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, here is what John said now. You can be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do you have fire in your life? And then he says this, whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. We will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, the Holy Ghost was the one that empowered Jesus. Let me drop something in you right now. I want you to think about this. When Jesus walked on this earth, he did not have any more supernatural power than you and I. He had limited himself to be a man. He had sinless blood. He was sinless. But he depended entirely on the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost, when Jesus spoke, it was the Holy Ghost that did the miracles. If that is true, then we also have the Holy Ghost. And why then are we not doing the works of Jesus? I'm going to deviate for a moment here and turn to the Gospel of John. Chapter 14. John 14. Some of you might say, well, you know, maybe you're stretching it now. John 14. Have you picked it up in verse 12? Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, and the works that I do shall he do also. What works did Jesus do? He raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, cast out demons, healed the sick. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Is that what Jesus said? Well, how is that possible? It's the Holy Ghost who is there and available. During your testimony time here today, Thomas was testifying that a contractor called him up and asked to talk to him. And he came to his office. And he was not that close personal with a man. And this man had a marriage problem, and he wanted to talk to Thomas about his marriage and how to get things resolved. And Thomas was simply saying, you know, I can't understand. He asked him, why do you come to me? Who am I? And the man said, well, I'm not going to go to so-and-so-and-so-and-so, but I'm going to come to you. Why? Because he saw the Holy Ghost. You see, people see the Holy Spirit in us. That's why people are attracted. But you see, so many times we get beaten down, we forget that. That we have the Holy Spirit power available to us. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 7 there. And this is what Jesus said. This is John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day at the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, Jesus said, rivers of living water. When should it be gushing forth? All the time. But you know, all the time we are not happy. We got breakdowns with cars. We got sickness. We got difficulty with finance. We got all kind of things. We get discouraged. And we simply say, oh, I don't feel any water flowing. Let me give you this picture right now. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Three siblings. And one day, Lazarus died. First he was sick. And Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus saying, no, Jesus, you're going to come. Lazarus is sick. And the disciples thought that he would leave immediately because they knew he loved these three people. And Jesus said, I'm not going. Lazarus died. Jesus didn't move. Lazarus was dead 3 days in the grave. 3 days. Blood had been destroyed. He started to rot, was smelling, stinking. After 3 days and three nights, Jesus says, let's go and see Lazarus. And his disciples were just flabbergasted. Why do you want to go and see him now? He's dead. Why do you go when he's alive? Well, Jesus had a purpose. So on the way, when he come in, he met Martha. And she said, Jesus, you know, if you would have been here, my brother would not be dead. What's wrong with you, Jesus? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. Do you believe? Mary was so angry, she was at home. She wouldn't even come out, and eventually she came out. And then Jesus went to the cemetery. And he simply said, roll away the stone. And they said, Doc, he's stinking. You can't roll away the stone. They did not believe. Jesus said, roll away the stone. If Jesus would have said, come forth, every dead person would have rose and got out. He had to be specific. He said, Lazarus, you come forth. And here came Lazarus, bound with his grave clothes, napkin around, walking out, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And he looked and said, wow, how could that happen? Jesus wanted to show, if you have a disease, is it harder for God to heal it at the beginning of your disease? When the disease has really got a hold of you? Or after you died? And Jesus simply said this, I am the king, I am the master, I am the ruler, I'm he that has all the power. I can do whatever I want through the Holy Spirit. What about you? Are you ready to move with the Holy Spirit? Turn to the Gospel of John now, chapter 5. Jesus now is going to reveal to us the Godhead. It was Jesus who revealed that God was his Father and that Jesus was the Son of God, make him divine and equal with God. John 5:17. And let's read this here. But Jesus answered them, my Father works hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making him himself equal to God. Then answered Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I said to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. He was showing greater things than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment of the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Look at that last verse. It's a key verse. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself. Now, if you look at the back of your outline, there's a picture that Charles created. And it's probably one of the better pictures. I didn't even ask him to. The Holy Spirit had Charles to do this picture. He just came to me and he said, okay, this is the picture I'm going to do. You have God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. What is his name? Elohim. Gods. God is triune. You and I are triune. But you see, God can divide himself up. God the Father stayed in heaven. Jesus the Son came to earth. And the Holy Ghost was a power between them. Someday, the Bible tells us that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are going to come back into their full glory. Moses said to Jesus, let me see you in your glory. And Jesus, you cannot see my glory. You cannot live. Our sinless body cannot take the glory. But one day we will see when God is fully together in one. Right now he's operating in three different entities, but he is one. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God is the Holy Spirit. You have a body, a soul, and if you have been saved, you have a spirit. I don't feel like three people walking around up here. I feel like one. Yet I am triune. I will not find out in the next life why God made us triune. I don't know. But I sure feel like one person. I'm not schizophrenic. The apostles didn't understand that Jesus was God, and they asked him to show them the Father. Turn to John 14:8. That's John 14:8. Have you read this? Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you? You have not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? Believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak unto myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe that I'm in the Father, and Father in me, whereas believe me for the very works' sake. The apostles had been with Jesus for about 3 years. And they had seen all the miracles, but they couldn't understand that Jesus was God. I can't understand that either. All I do is, I simply say this, this is what the Bible says, this is how it works, and later on, I will find out. We got computers back here in the control center, in the control booth. And if you would ask me, do I really know how computers work? I would say no. Can I turn on the computer? Yes, I can. I know what a button is. I can turn it on. I can operate it, but I cannot build one. This is how we got to live and think. We don't know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are three and yet one. But we know this. We can turn on the power and it works. And someday we will see him face to face. Turn to John 16:5 now. John 16:5. This is getting, should get a very exciting for you. I remember when I was told about the Holy Ghost back in 1969. I was excited. John 16. And you pick it up in verse number 5. But now, I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter. The Holy Ghost Comforter. And when he's come, he reproved the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because they go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for you shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Look at the outline there. In these verses, Jesus is calling the Holy Spirit for the Comforter and the Spirit of truth. We know the truth about Elohim. We know that now. Elohim is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is triune, and he made man triune. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, yet one. They can operate separately from one another. Man has a body, soul, and spirit, but he is not three persons. Neither can any of his components operate separately from one another. If I'm in church, I'm not at home. I wish sometimes I could put my body in bed and say, you stay home and go to bed. My soul and spirit, we're going to drive into church. And then when we come back, you're rested up. I can't do that. When I go, all three of us go. And yet, I feel I'm only one. I am only one. Man was made in the likeness of God, but is not equal to God. I want you to look upon now these things that Jesus said, if you look at the outline. He will be the Comforter. How many of you have been discouraged at least one time in your life? One person. Bless your heart. I'm so proud of you. As another person in the booth said, yes. You know, Satan's choice weapon is discouragement. And you know what he will do is this. He will hang up a person, you know, and say, look at that sorry looking person. He's a Christian. He's this and that. Look how defeated he is. And you said, yes, I can see how defeated that person is. And then the devil says, nah, you get defeated over his defeat. How many husband and wife have not had, you know, the husband goes down in depression and the wife falls right after? He's a comforter. We got to remember this. That when God starts something, he's not discouraged. He's not saying, okay, now, you know, well, I guess it's not going to work out and so on. You get discouraged. When things go wrong, start praising God and saying, God, miracles are coming. In 1985, I was sitting on an airplane with my wife, coming back from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I was discouraged. I was having a Bible studies at that time, but it was, didn't have a church. And I'm just sitting there looking out over Texas. And I said, God, what's wrong here? And then the Holy Spirit, he spoke very distinctly. He said, I want you to go back to Sacramento and start another church. I said, Lord, I don't want to start a church. It's too painful. He said, start a church. Now, I know when he speaks to me, you don't argue. I said, if that's so, give me the name. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And I wondered why. That's a weird name. But you know what's happening here? People are being resurrected here. People are being resurrected. They are being born again. People are being set free from demons. This is where we have a resurrection. This is Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. How many assistant pastors have gone through? Probably more than I got fingers on my hands. How many people have you seen come and gone? Lots of them. Have you had financial difficulties? All the time. Have you ever had, did you ever get a bank account of $500,000 when we simply said, have you got a cash flow? We don't need to have prayer meeting this week. We got a cash flow here, you know, just write the checks, you know. Praise God, we don't need to pray. Never had that. I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give this miracle just to show you, because I want you to get excited. 3-4 days ago on the production property, Charles came out with a young man, and he said he wanted to look at a certain building there. I said, okay, what's it for? Well, he said, you know, this young man, you know, is thinking about leaving home. So we talked about it. And then the Holy Spirit said, take him aside and talk to him. So I said, hey, let's go and sit down someplace. We find a place to sit down and talk. And I said, you know, you need to think about this. God is rearranging things. Things are closing for you. I believe you should go back to school. And the man said, well, you know, some time ago, my grandpa said, you know, that if you go back to school, I will pay for it. I said, well, praise God. Let's believe that. So I walk in here today. Young man asked me to come over. He says, guess what? I saw my grandpa Saturday. I didn't ask him for any money. I just told him, Grandpa, I'm going to go back to school. And Grandpa said, well, I'll help you. Get started. You see, the Holy Spirit put things together when you don't know how to put things together. Expect to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter. He will also guide you into all truth. How did I learn all these different things? The Holy Spirit has guided me, brought me people, things, books, pamphlets. I never forget. About 1981, 82. One of the wives, it was a young lady, at that time about 35 years old, and she came to me and she said, "Pastor, I got this little green tract. I want you to read it and tell me what you think." That's a smart way to go, you see. You ask people to read it so you can tell them what you think. You see, they ain't going to read it. If you say, "Read it because I want you to," they said, "No, I'm not going to read it." So I took it. And I simply dutifully laid it at home. My wife read it. She said, "You read a tract yet?" "No, I haven't read a tract yet. I don't want to read a tract. I don't want to be responsible." Because the tract was called "The Truth About Christmas." Well, it took 6 months and about 4 months on the tract in the bathroom before I read it. So I read it. And then the Holy Spirit said, "Now, what are you going to do about it?" "Well, what can you do about it? You got truth." So the Holy Spirit has led all the way. And He continues to lead all the way. He will show us things to come. Now turn to Acts 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Some of you might say, "Well, I'm old. I don't know this much about this or that." Makes not a bit of difference. The Holy Ghost does the work. In Acts 1, verse 4, we read this. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, he asked them, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Power. Power to do what? Power to live. Power to pray. Power to do things. 1979, I ran across, I don't know how it really happened, but I ran across a pastor by the name of Gordon Ginn. He only lived a block away from us. We lived on one side, he lived on the other side of the block. And so I met Gordon Ginn, and Gordon Ginn knew a lot about the world government. He gave me a lot of information, a lot of books. Now, Gordon Ginn had a friend, Reggie Shin. And Reggie Shin was attending his church that he had. And Gordon said, I want you to meet Reggie. I want you to get to know him. Now, Reggie lived about 5 blocks away from us, Foothill Farms here in Sacramento. And I says, "Well, you know, I'm busy, you know." So I went over, my wife and I went over to his house, you know, met Tim and his wife and talked and so on. And that was about 1979. That is 31 years ago. Well, I did not know that Reggie Shin was going to play a huge role in our ministry. He had the American Rifle Pistol Association. We were part of that and so on. And 31 years later, Reggie Shin is an integrated part in this ministry. How could I know that? Now, he's older than I. He's a World War II veteran and so on. The Holy Ghost simply said, this is what you do, and what you do today and meet people will in the future make connections. Get excited. There is power to come. And then fifthly, he will manifest supernatural gifts in the Christian. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And this is exciting. To me, it's exciting. I learned how to cast out demons. I prayed for the sick. My wife has raised someone from the dead. We got all kind of things happening. But listen to this now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit given to every man to profit all. Everyone can have a gift. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. We need that. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, let's talk about faith just for a moment. When we met there this morning, it looked kind of bleak. People were late, you know, and it was kind of a bleak situation. And some people were, you know, discouraged. I decided this. I'm going to be encouraged. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care if I got bad news about David Terrell and his diabetic situation. I don't care about that, because I know that God is able. God is willing. To another faith by the same Spirit. Notice how the meeting changed when we had, after we had testimony time and prayer meeting. Did you notice this? That the meeting, the atmosphere changed in this room. Faith came in. To another gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another working on miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one of the sense and Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, these gifts are available to you, but you got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. First, you got to get saved. Step number one. Step number two is to be baptized in water by immersion. And step number three is to say, Holy Spirit, I am available and I will be glad to yield to you. That's all you need to do. Expect a miracle. We really, you know, most of the time we don't expect nothing. So what do we get? Nothing. That's true. Have you ever seen a salesman going out and go into an office and he says, it's kind of a waste of the time coming in here, you know, but I give you a sales pitch anyway, but I don't really expect any sales from you. Do you think that you're going to say, how exciting? What kind of product do you have? We want to buy it from you. They're going to say, hey, man, don't waste your time. Just keep on going. You're not going to sell nothing anyway. If you're a salesperson, you got to learn how to take rejection. You got to learn to be rejected. You got a big smile. You know, he says, hi, you know, I got this product there. No. Okay, go to the next one. You go to the next one. You cannot be discouraged. God wants to work in that. You expect things to happen. When I left this morning, I'm simply expecting David Terrell to be healed. I'm expecting Michael Blair to be healed. I'm expecting everybody else to be healed. I'm expecting things to happen. We are going to have things happening. Why? Because of the Holy Ghost and because what God said. Look in the outline there. The Holy Spirit is a friend of every born-again believer in Christ. Are you a friend of the Holy Spirit? Are you a friend of the Holy Spirit? You might say, well, you know, does God love me? He does love you. You know, there have been times I want to help people. And I said, you know, I want to give you this. And he said, I can't take it from you. Can I help you out with this? No, you can't help me. I cannot take anything from you. Why not? Well, you just can't. Well, I can't get them anything. The Holy Spirit is here today and simply saying this. Hello? I'm here. I'm in this room. Like a washing machine. Just go moving around. I'm here. Open your hearts. Start to expect things. Let me do some things in your life. Well, I don't know about that. You know, I'm old now. Haven't seen too much happen. I'm kind of waiting just to go home to be with Jesus. You know what the Holy Ghost is going to do? He's going to say to us, peace to your brother. Peace to your sister. Go on. But those of us that say, Holy Spirit, come on in. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Start moving in my life. He will. I started out an intimidated Southern Baptist minister thinking there was no power. We just had to do it ourselves until I opened my life to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It's been a grand trip for about over 40 years. I challenge you. Ask him to come into your life today. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the time you spoke to me through the Holy Spirit when I was 3 years old. 5 years old. And all the years passed, Father God, even before I was saved, you spoke to me. I want to thank you, Lord, the time you spoke to me after I met that woman on the train and said, this is your wife, pursue her. I was not even walking with you. I want to thank you, Father God, for all the things you've done in my life. For the joy of walking with you. And Lord, we are here in this church today because of you. And Father, descend upon every person in this room today. Get them excited. Because you're not a respecter person. Help them to say, Holy Spirit, work in my life. Do things for me. So the Father God, we can be used. If you're watching us now or later, the Holy Spirit is there regardless of where you are on the planet Earth. And if you're not saved and you say, well, I just happen to tune in, but I'm not even a born again believer. I don't even know Jesus. But I'm interested. Right now, do you say, my Heavenly Father, forgive me my sins. I'm sorry. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross and rose on the third day. I believe that. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, and be my Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit, make me come alive and anoint me in Jesus' name. And he will. Thank you, my Heavenly Father. I'm going to step back now. The elders are going to come forward. People are going to come to them, Father God, to be prayed for whatever they have in need today. And I pray for those that are watching us in other parts of the world. That Father God, right now, Holy Spirit, touch them, speak to them, minister to them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The altars are open. You come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, "The Holy Spirit is Your Friend." Pastor John spoke about the Holy Spirit answering such questions as who He is, where He comes from, and what He does. He started in the Old Testament and then moved forward to when Jesus was conceived to see the role that the Holy Spirit played in these events. It was Jesus who told us about the relationship between Himself, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, who is the friend of every born-again believer in Christ. The Holy Spirit will be your comforter, show you things to come, guide you into all truth, empower and manifest supernatural gifts in your life. But most importantly, He is your best friend. The question is, are you a friend of the Holy Spirit? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1259. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.